This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, the mellow tones of the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Chelsea fans, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio on social media. Give us a ring or, in fact, send us a WhatsApp message. 0208 70 20 558 is the number if you want to do that. And we want to hear from you this evening. We are going to be talking Mason Mount, Chelsea's shirt deal switch conundrum, and, of course, the impact that the coronavirus is having on the Blues. I'm delighted to say that I'm here tonight with the man, the myth, the maverick, Dave Chidgey. Chidge, good evening.
Mr. Forrester, how lovely to hear your dulcet tone. I thought you were talking about Jonathan for a minute rather than me, but it's lovely to be here.
Wait till you hear his intro. It's going to blow yours out of the water. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm very well. It's quite bizarre being kind of bunkered down in Winchester and, you know, not seeing the bright lights of London City on a Friday. It kind of makes my heart ache a bit, but it's nice down in the country, I have to say.
Two weekends without football now. What have you been doing?
I've had to talk to my wife.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's all right, she's recovered.
The poor woman.
It's been really odd, hasn't it? I mean, it's just, you know, it's the classic kind of cliche, isn't it? You don't know what you've lost until you've lost it, you know, and it's just been so odd. I mean, it's not just football, Joe. I mean, all sport gone. And it's blimey. I mean, it's kind of novel for the first weekend, but, you know, the days go by and you think, oh, come on, you know, we need it back. But end of the day, people's health has to come first. So I can totally understand why we've had to done it. I think the real question is, when's it going to be back?
Yeah, well, absolutely. This is it. It's been extended to April 30th, hasn't it? We could be asking if that's realistic. Now, let me tell you, kids listening at home, now is the moment to tremble with excitement because we are joined by Jonathan Kidd. Jonathan, good evening.
Kiddo. I'm outside Skyping. I'm just outside the office. I misunderstood.
Oh, you're that man in the rain mac across the street.
That's me, exactly, with the trilby. I look rather attractive. I'm by the lamppost. Yeah, that's me, yeah. We were talking about that. I rather like this because I'm self-employed. I rather like all of this not doing much because I'm just doing exactly what I do normally. I have a kind of gnome-like, gnomic quality about me anyway with my long beard and my red hat with the hood, you know, that. So it fits in rather well. I've got a little fishing rod and I'm sitting in somebody's garden. So it's perfect.
It's the first time in what I laughingly refer to as my career that I can't feel guilty for not going out and working, because I actually can't.
Yeah. And in fact, it encourages you to think, this is good. This is good for me. I can create. I can be, I'll be perfect. In fact, coming on the show, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I'd love, that's great. Perfect. I can organize my life every week. Now I know I've got something to do properly on a Friday at 7 o'clock. Wow. Brilliant. Absolutely. As opposed to, can I make it at the end of the day? Yes, I can. But now I'm going, I'm worried it'll become very important and I've got nothing to talk about. That might be the problem. So
I'm a bit grumpy about this because, you know, like Jonathan was saying, Joe, you know, we're both self-employed anyway. And I keep seeing all these big companies sending around handouts about how you work at home. And I'm thinking, now they've let the amateurs loose. You know, we're the professionals. Yeah. This is completely unfair.
We have made a career out of pontificating. Do 10 minutes of work, clean the kitchen, maybe make a lasagna.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah, that's it. It's the how long has it taken me to do this? Yes, I must go and make myself a coffee. Absolutely right. Yeah.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you, as we mentioned, Premier League postponed till April the 30th. They say this season will be finished no matter what comes. Firstly, is that even practical?
Well, I think these pronouncements they seem to be making as if they've somehow consulted some surgeon somewhere, knowing that April the 30th will be a time we're all cured, are absolutely phenomenal. I thought Michael Owen made a great statement yesterday, didn't he, on which he was completely taken to the cleaners for saying football back on April the 30th or something, as if somehow this was a given and it was definitely going to happen. We talked about this on the fancast the other day. I think it would suit them wonderfully if there was a kind of an all clear in June, and then they could have a competition. They could have all 9 games in a week, and it would be like, and all the clubs would say, no, we can't do it. And Sky would say, yeah, of course you've got to do it, because we can make it into like a kind of instant. It would be a great event for the Premier League to be able to finish the season in as quick a time as possible. It doesn't matter if everybody gets injured. It would be great. The kind of, you know, the whole friction of it all. I think it would be, it could become a great positive thing, and I think it'd be like the end of the Second World War. Whenever it does happen, we'd all flock to watch. We'd all go mad for getting our lives back and our football. And we just, because I think they had record attendances after the Second World War ended, and I think we'd have the same thing. I think they'd somehow make it the most phenomenal experience that's ever taken place. They'd advertise it to the hilt. It would just become, you know, we'd be talking about it nonstop. We'd be wearing our colours in the street. We'd be fighting. We'd be making up for the fact that we've all been kept hidden away. We'd just be shouting, screaming when we got outside for this football. But I think in reality, what's going to happen is nothing's going to happen for about 9 months, and they're all going to be terribly disappointed and have to cancel the season, which I think will be a bit of a laugh, really.
Wow, Chidge, do you agree? You think the season might get cancelled altogether?
Well, I mean, you know, I love you know, Jonathan's post-war kind of
apocalypse.
Well, no, quite the opposite, actually. I mean, I really don't know. I think that the Premier League are coming out with these asinine statements, as Jonathan's kind of saying, because they have no choice, because I think they're really just trying to avoid any financial or legal liability from the broadcasters if they don't put these games on. And it's quite mad, isn't it? Because we all know, we're all reading the news, and people are saying that not only will the coronavirus be peaking in May or June, May and June even, but actually this whole social distancing thing that we're having to do could last for a year. So yeah. It's just crass that they're saying this. But I have to say, I understand why they're doing it. I think the really significant date, Joe, is the 30th of June.
Yes.
That is UEFA's cutoff point. And I think what's been really interesting reading a lot of the sports stuff this week is actually how much influence UEFA have over this as well. You know, not least in getting rid of the European Championships that were going to be this summer and now have moved to 2021. But, of course, June the 30th is the cutoff for when players' contracts end. And, of course, if the season isn't completed before that, that's going to cause chaos, I think. So,
haven't they said they're going to extend them? Just didn't UEFA make a statement?
They may well have done, JK. I might have missed that. Yeah. But, I mean, that is a real issue, isn't it? Because that could be really chaotic. But I think, look, a few weeks ago we were saying, you know, what chaos it is, and, you know, let's just cancel it and all the rest of it, not least because it'd be funny because Liverpool might not get the title. But I think suddenly it's dawning on us, you know, what a real issue this is, you know, not least public health wise, but also on the sport and football as a whole. But I'm beginning to get my head around the concept of maybe what they should do when it's safe to do so is just actually play it behind closed doors as a TV event, because I'm beginning to think that if they don't finish it, it's going to cause so much chaos further down the line that it's going to take us ages to recover from this.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned obviously the 30th of June and the contractual issues. So UEFA and FIFA are touting a potential solution where there would be a blanket enforcement of contracts extended among staff and among players. Now, the immediate glaring potential for problems there is if football agents don't agree, which you, the from what I know about some of the super agents in particular, you're not good. I mean, I'm not entirely certain they would play ball. And as you rightly say, Chidge, it means could potentially mean the season, say the season gets underway again, I don't know, mid-June, then you might have the same personnel from the previous season then sold out under you during the transfer window. If you start again in August, you might have a dramatically different lineup from who you had the last time you played a game in that season. And Chelsea players out of contract this summer, Nathan D'Souza, Olivier Giroud, Marco van Ginkel, Kennedy, Ledesma, Rahman, Willian. I mean, the list.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned anybody any good so far, other than Willian and Giroud, Willian. Possibly.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But I mean, it will cause pandemonium, not least with the shirt deal, which I know we're going to get onto very, very soon. Jonathan, what about this idea of playing behind closed doors? I watched a couple of behind closed doors games in the last round of Champions League fixtures, which seems like a lifetime ago. And it was very, very weird. I didn't enjoy it anywhere near as much. And I didn't know that would be the impact. Is football really worth playing without the fans?
But would they be allowed to do that? Because surely if anybody had the virus, they'd all have to have either had the virus and been screened as having had it and they're no longer infectious, or there'd still be the opportunity for them spreading it. Mm. So even amongst themselves. So I don't really get how that applies. I don't know how they could do that if nobody's supposed to be even touching anybody else. Mm. You know, they couldn't even do the bit. They the ridiculousness of having that everybody marching past each other on the final Saturday so far of the season, not shaking hands, and at the end of the game everybody all hugs each other. Just think, and they've just played football together for 90 minutes against each other with all the physical contact. Yes. You know, they're about everything is bound, and also the breath and being in their sphere of influence and whatever, and playing football with them, there's bound to be contact and transference of bacteria. So I don't understand how that could still take place. But in terms of just the whole spectacle, I mean, I agree with Chidge. I think they'll do anything to get the season finished. And if it means that setting the whole thing up becomes problematic, they'll just do it behind closed doors. Wouldn't surprise me if they do that thing they do in Sunday football, which is play double headers. You know, yeah. You play somebody for 60 minutes, and then they haven't played them home and away. You play either somebody else or the other part of the fixture for the next 60 minutes, so it just gets finished. You know, I think, you know, it's draconian measures, but these are different, difficult times. I think they'll just get it. They'll treat it as a plus, whatever happens. But and they may play it if everybody's clear. They probably will play it behind closed doors. But I still, at the moment, I don't understand how that could possibly happen, just because of the chances of people giving each other the virus, I'm afraid.
Well, that's the thing, JK. I mean, you know, you know me very well, and I cannot think. I mean, I get what Joe's saying as well. Actually, he kind of alluded to this. I cannot think of anything worse than football being played behind closed doors, because, you know, football is nothing without supporters. Mm. But I think that maybe even we have to recognise that these are such exceptional times. We've never seen anything quite like this. So perhaps, you know, we just need to be more pragmatic about it, because I really do think, Joe, you know, if this drags on for as long as it might well drag on for, the impact it's going to have on all of us and football is appalling. And I mean, don't underestimate, I mean, you and I were talking a minute ago about how awful it is without sport and what on earth do we do. I mean, even if they had it on the telly, it would just be some respite, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, there's been a conversation this week that I think that's been had here, certainly at Love Sport, among listeners and presenters and stuff here, about whether it seems, I don't know what the right word is, slightly flippant, slightly banal to be talking about sport. And I said, hey, listen, I mean, we need, certainly, I think at tough times, we need a bit of levity and a bit of distance and something to distract us. And also, we care passionately and deeply about sport, and it's a part of our lives. And we want to know when that element of our lives, along with everything else, in amongst all the chaos, will be sorted. Hey, listen, we're going to be talking about Chelsea's shirt deal and how on earth that's going to work out in amongst all this in a moment.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Now, from 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you are listening to us on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Press the auto tune, refresh or auto scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto tune to make sure you don't miss your favourite shows, such as the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Right, loads still to come at Love Sport Radio if you want to get in touch. 0208 70 2558 to give us a ring, or in fact send us a WhatsApp message. Right, still here with Dave Chidgey and Jonathan Kidd. It is, of course, the Chelsea Fan Show. Chidge, so let's talk about this shirt deal. One of the big economic impacts that people maybe haven't thought about when it comes to what coronavirus and the postponements are going to mean are the fact that clubs have multiple sponsors, and these sponsorships, a lot of them expire in the summer. And depending on where a club finishes, what competitions they're competing in the next season, who their personnel are even, it impacts whether sponsors want to get involved, how much money they want to spend, if they want to renew deals. So Chelsea have a shirt deal switch conundrum, is that right?
A little bit. I mean, I got to pick this up from my chums at football.london earlier in the week, but... in reality, I don't think it's going to, you know, leave a 200 quid, sorry, 200 million quid hole in Chelsea's pocket. But I think you're right. I mean, it just illustrates what a chaotic situation we're all facing, because, you know, Chelsea's deal with Yokohama Tyres, you know, runs out, I think, at the end of this season. And then we start this one with three. So, you know, contractual issues are going to be absolutely, you know, blown apart, aren't they? If the season goes on beyond this, I think the 30th, as I said, the 30th of June is the real issue. Incidentally, Joe, I've just picked up something really, really quite interesting on the old wires just before we came on the show, which is UEFA apparently are going to relax the FFP regulations in light of the coronavirus crisis. Kind of announced about half an hour ago on The Athletic. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because it tells you that, you know, exactly what I was saying, that is that if this thing goes on and there doesn't seem to be any kind of sensible ending to it, the financial chaos this is going to cause for clubs is, you know, for all, I would submit, but the really, really big clubs, it could threaten their, you know, their future completely. They might go out of business. So it's interesting that the UEFA have picked up on this idea and have decided to kind of scale down FFP.
See Man City get away.
What happens to Man City now? Will they still get their ban? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, JK?
Yeah, that's it wouldn't surprise me if PSG and Man City and all these other clubs then just buy all the best players in the world and then nothing happens for another year and then they have to do it again. I'm just worried about how long does your fitness and form carry on if you haven't played for a year? Whether you fit into the, you know, Giroud, bless his cotton socks, does he and Pedro, is that the end of that? Are their legs gone?
Is he in that risk category, Giroud? Because he is quite old.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I was not thinking of catching the virus. I was just thinking of having all his talent fall out of a hole in his foot, because they're all slightly past their sell by date. So yeah, it's a conundrum. I'm intrigued as to what the possibilities are. I mean, it's just a suck it and see. I was just wondering whether or not, of course, in terms of the shirts, you could actually have a half and half shirt. So you could have half Yokohama and half three, couldn't you? Or have it, you know, a very interesting design, which is a kind of Yoko three or half of it, or even have one on your back, have the three on your back and the Yokohama on the front, or half the players wear Yokohama, half the players wear three. I don't know what I'm sure they could come up with something.
You know what, JK? Get the the loathed half and half scarf sellers can have an exclusive deal to sell half and half shirts. How about that?
you mentioned there, Chiz, about the teams lower down the football pyramid, and there's big calls from the Football League that Premier League clubs, being by far the richest clubs, should pitch in with some kind of financial aid package. League One and League Two clubs are already estimating £50 million losses. You go even lower than that. Teams in the National League, and even some teams actually, if you go up to the Championship, rely so heavily on gates to keep afloat. Do you think the Premier League and the richest clubs should help out?
Well, I think so. And I think that applies beyond just football, but to society generally. I mean, we are all going to be impacted by this. I mean, I think what we're about to see over the next, you know, few months, certainly maybe even a year, is the greatest impact on our lives economically, certainly, since the Second World War, when I think that there's an equivalence there. So I think if people are, you know, being selfish, or football clubs are being selfish and saying, look after me first, then I think we're in real, real trouble. You know, I mean, I think on gate receipts, Joe, you know, it's quite marginal for the big Premier League clubs. I mean, Chelsea's, I think 15% of their total revenue comes from, you know, match day revenue. So effectively people going through the gate. The majority of their money comes from commercial and broadcasting. It's a fairly equal split between the two. I tell you what's occurred to me is that, given everything that's going on, I mean, you know, you see a lot of people cancelling their Sky and their BT subscriptions. People might find other things to do, bloody, bloody, blah. I wonder if this could be the thing that burst the TV bubble, because we all know that TV companies have been massively overpaying for Premier League football for a long time. And in a sense, that's bankrolled a lot of the club spending on these exceptional players that we've been enjoying. But I wonder if this might create a situation where that bubble bursts. And then what do we do if they're not getting the same amount of TV revenue that they've been getting before?
So suddenly, you're saying the Premier League becomes weaker as a result of not having such an influx of cash?
Yeah, basically. So, you know, I don't know when the next TV deals are due to finish, but it can't be too long away. And I mean, one wonders if the whole landscape will change as a result of this.
But might it not be the opposite, which is that there is a mad frenzy for renewing these things because they haven't had it for so long. I think it might be the opposite. I think they might make even more.
But not
revenue.
If the money's not there, Jonathan. I mean, maybe the broadcasters won't have the revenue either. I mean, this is the thing. It's going to affect every area economically. So if the broadcasters don't have the cash to pay the billions they have been, then they say, well, we're just not going to pay it. So if somebody else can have a go, and they might not have the money either.
The whole process of advertising revenue at the moment, and from my world, you wonder whether or not ads are going to be made. At the moment, they've got the bizarre thing on the television of showing a lot of ads that have clearly been booked in that they're you know, legally they have to play, which have no relevant at all. You know, it's like P&O Ferries and EasyJet. They're all still up there because that's
lots
part
of travel
the deal.
Ads.
You know, but nobody can go anyway. So you're just thinking, well, what happens when all of this is played out? Where's the revenue going to come for the companies? You're absolutely right that way, Chidge. It'd be interesting to see what they're going to fill it with, whether there'll be holes. I remember various strikes have taken place in the past and with advertisers, and they just don't play an ad in the period. I think when Sky first started, for example, they didn't have enough revenue. So they'd play an ad and then they'd just be a black screen till the program started again. And you're just thinking, well, that means they're not making any money from that at all, you know. And that was one of the reasons why they had to actually refinance originally Sky when they first started out. Because they did, because they were working from quarter cabins.
Just had an awful flashback, Jonathan. You'll remember this, but you know, Joe probably wasn't born at this time.
No, he wasn't.
Do you remember when we were kids that you know, that TV used to shut down at 11 o'clock and you would just get a tone and then a black screen?
Well, I remember when it didn't show anything during the day other than bizarre test shows of the 1956 Monte Carlo Rally. I've just made that up, by the way.
Brilliant.
Well, I vividly remember waking up late at night, and this has haunted me, this image, for 30-odd years, the little girl with the clown. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's on the test card, yeah.
Why choose that?
Well, all the colours were right, you see. If you were a technician trying to align the 625 lines of colour, she had all the right things. There was a balloon, there was a clown's face, there was a little girl. So all the colours, you know, because you could overdo it. You could do it yourself. There was one button you could turn up and she'd have a red face. And there was another one you could turn up and she'd have a white face. You know, we'd go down to black and white. Do you remember doing that on the television set? You could do that, probably not. But I used to use a
vectorscope and a waveform monitor, but that's because I used to work in TV.
I had a disc, Chidge, which I revolved.
Indeed,
and it played a kind of cartoon character over and over again.
We are through the looking glass now, gentlemen. Let me tell you, Jonathan.
It was John Logie Baird I was referring to then in the 30s. I thought both of you would get it, but you didn't get it. Anyway, okay, yeah, what were you saying? Yeah.
the Stamford Bridge redevelopment plan has been something that's been up and down and back and forth for what feels like for as long as I can remember. So, Jonathan, do you think this could potentially be curtains for that?
No, I don't think so. No, I think it depends what his shares have gone down 2 billion, haven't they? But he's still got 10.5 or something. It'll all go up again. It's a question of when. You know, I think the dilemma we've got with the Prime Minister saying, yes, we're going to spend and the Chancellor 500 billion. And you go, where are they going to get that from? Well, they get it from us, but over the next few years, from taxation and rationing, probably. That's how they deal with it. So it's a question of what financial environment he thinks it's going to be. He might get everything more cheaply as a consequence. And also, we've been talking about this. Is he going to redevelop Stamford Bridge? Or is he going to move somewhere else? You know, we were talking about the possibility of using Earl's Court. It's making it less and less likely. But I think he's very keen to do it, not from a revenue point of view, because if they're not bothering about financial fair play, it won't matter anymore for the moment. But I think that can be an advantage. But I think he's after leaving a legacy and leaving a legacy for his son. And the best way would be to make a phenomenal stadium, which is what the plans were. So it means it's very unlikely in the short term, but I don't think it's knocked it on the head. No, I think it will initially, obviously, but I don't know. One can but speculate. I don't know what goes on in Abramovich's mind, what goes on in the mind of a man who has more money than I will ever earn in a year. No, that's wrong. More money than I will ever earn ever.
Freudian slip, mate.
I was going to say, what a year.
Not even a slip, Chidge. Deliberately slipped.
He's not lying, Joe.
Gag about Paul McCartney, isn't it? He earns 68,000 a minute, you know, almost as much as I earn or something, whatever that gag is. But what do you do in the mind of a man who earned, you know, is worth... On a bad time, he's worth 6 million or 6 billion, and when it's good, he's worth 12. I don't know what does he think? He's just thinking, do I want to have this legacy? I personally think the design for it was completely phenomenal. If he ever wanted to leave something behind, you go, this is the best stadium in England, which is what it would be. So, does he do that, or does he keep on in the same way? I think he makes the best stadium personally, because then. He's associated with that.
I don't see it happening, JK. I really don't. I mean, we know that the planning permission lapses on the 31st of March, so a couple of weeks' time. So, I mean, I know that that doesn't spell the end of it per se, because they can do all sorts of other things. They can even submit plans again, and there's an argument to say that it might be easier to get them through the second time. But I think, given that they stopped the project in the first place because of an uncertain or unfavourable investment climate, then what on earth are we going to be facing in the next few years, if not an even more unfavourable investment climate? And it's clear that the cost went up from $500 million to over $1 billion. It was clear that he wanted external investment to come in and help him. He didn't want to put his hand in his pocket entirely for the whole thing. So I think the plans as we have seen them, I cannot believe that will happen. I think that the club would find another site to build it on if they could. I really do. And I think that they'll have real trouble doing that because, of course, we've got the CPO issue. Frankly, personally, JK, I actually think it may be a blessing in disguise. I mean, I think we might dodge a bullet by this, because even though, you know, there's this argument that clubs like Spurs are now earning more money than us because they have a bigger stadium. I mean, you know, Joe, I don't know if Joe's been up there, but I've had many said that on some occasions the atmosphere is amazing, but on many others it's not. And I've often thought that the same thing with Chelsea, that if you increase the capacity, then, you know, actually it will just be another step towards stultifying the atmosphere rather than increasing it.
That's
maybe
true.
If we stay at quite an old school stadium, we can make it a bit of a fortress, and actually we won't be, you know, burdened by a huge amount of debt while we build it. So maybe we might dodge a bullet because of what might happen due to the pandemic and the economic impact of that.
Hey, listen, Chelsea fans, we want to hear your thoughts as well at Love Sport Radio, or give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558. We'll be talking about Roman Abramovich's generous streak next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. It's the Chelsea Fan Show with the Chelsea Fan Cast. Dave Chidgey here, as is Jonathan Kidd. Don't forget, Blues fans, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio, 0208 70 20 558, the number to call us, or indeed to send us a WhatsApp message. Now, here in front of me, Chidge, it says Roman Abramovich's generosity. He's a man who's often maligned, I think, by the
not
public.
Not by us.
Not by you, but by the public at large. Obviously, we're not all Jonathan Kidd. We're not all economically on a par with Roman, of course. But he's been very...
Apart from JK, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, of course. Yeah, JK clearly represented by Mino Raiola.
Oh, actually, I've just been advised not to speak to either of you about this.
But Roman's actually been helping out, hasn't he, during the coronavirus crisis?
He's been absolutely brilliant. I think it's really, really... I mean, if you know, I'm sure we all follow social media quite a lot. It's been really interesting, the lists of soon-to-become pariahs versus soon-to-become legends and angels. And Roman's certainly put himself in the latter camp, because what he's doing is he's making available both the Millennium and the Copthorne hotels at Stamford Bridge to any of the medical staff in the area who, of course, are working massively long shifts under incredibly hard circumstances to try and look after us all while we endure this awful pandemic. So and he's doing it for free, which is absolutely wonderful of him, and fair play. I mean, the only other thing I found in the article, which I thought was a bit weird, I don't quite know what it really meant, but it was saying that for the North West London region, and I thought, well, hang on a minute, Chelsea and Westminster Hospital's literally 10 minutes down the road. So I hope and presume he means that, as well as Charing Cross. But either way, it's an incredibly magnanimous gesture, and he should be roundly applauded for it.
Yeah, two of London's biggest hospitals, of course, just around the corner. And it's part of an overall trend of football clubs pitching in and helping during this period. And JK, I don't think football clubs really get enough of credit, because they do a lot of community work, and they've been very quick to help people during this difficult time.
I don't think any football club or players get enough credit for it. It seems to go under the radar somehow. Mm. But at the same time, you know, why they perhaps they should have a PR department pushing it. But then it seems slightly negative, doesn't it? To be self-defeating to do that kind of thing, because you just want to do it and get on with it. But I mean, even this gesture by Roman has got some people complaining that it's just a publicity device for the club. They're people who hate Chelsea, but I think it's a wonderful thing to have done, and I think he'll do more. Actually, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think there are so many opportunities for him using the club. I mean, they can't obviously use it for people to meet. I'm trying to think of other opportunities they could use. Perhaps is it just the one? Is it the Copthorne he's using?
Or both
is it
of them, I think.
And the Millennium, both, yeah.
It's completely fantastic. And you know what? He will probably. He's got. He owns other buildings. I suspect we'll learn that they've been added to the list that the NHS can use. He's a philanthropist as well as being, but obviously being one of the richest men in the world, it's likely that's going to happen. But yeah, good on him. Fantastic.
And JK, let's talk Mason Mount. So, spotted in a park, bizarrely, in a weird cartoonish incident, having a kick about with Declan Rice. So, I mean, the first thing that I immediately think is, I mean, it just seems slightly foolhardy. And I must say, actually, I haven't passed too much judgment on the two of them. But the only thing that seems slightly foolhardy to me is the fact that they have both played for England, so are hugely recognisable. And people playing football in the local park are likely to recognise recent England players. What did you make of the whole Mason Mount incident?
Well, I didn't even know anything about it. Shows I've had my head in the sand, because I've been so self-isolating. Actually, I haven't. I was in town today, but shush. good luck to them. You know, get out there, as long as they're not touching. If they're wearing plastic gloves and masks, and which, of course, they weren't, were they? Well, no, they're just passing the ball to each other. What's the problem? I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're allowed to go out and exercise. Exercise is part of it, isn't it, of the whole coronavirus thing. You've got to keep healthy. You've got to have a decent immune system, supposedly. So if they're out there playing and they're mates, as long as they don't touch, as long as they keep, I don't know, of course they do. I don't know. I don't think it's foolhardy. I think it's fair enough if they're mates and they're playing football. I suppose if they're willing, wanting to attract. I tell you what they should have done is to have worn, both of them worn Yokohama shirts. Then Yokohama would have been happy with all the publicity. In fact, I don't understand why all these little pictures of people kicking loo rolls into like Alonso and Mountain and doing playing keepy uppy with them. They should all be wearing their Chelsea shirts. That way, Yokohama will be happy with the publicity they're getting.
But so, you want to play both sides, don't you? So they also need to be on their mobile phone, which has a very generous contract from Three.
Yeah, and everything. They should be doing everything at the same time and wearing, I don't know, a hat with something on it with keep Chelsea, make Chelsea great or something. I don't know. They become living representations of everything they've got. They're sponsoring. I think that would be perfect. Yeah.
Chidge, I suppose the issue with Mason Mount is the fact that obviously Callum Hudson-Odoi did test positive for COVID-19. So his teammates are technically supposed to be in isolation, weren't they?
Oh, good
well,
point.
You're absolutely right. And I hate to sound like an old curmudgeon, and whereas Jonathan seems to be...
No, I've been frivolous. I forgot all about that. I forgot.
No, you're channeling your millennial side, Jonathan.
I take
you're
it all back.
You're channeling your millennial side. Easy for me to say.
Appalling behaviour. They should both be strung up by their balls. By their balls. Absolutely appalling.
I think together, Dreadful. Actually, they should connect their balls together and string them up by them. But we're talking footballs,
no,
obviously, Joe.
They might
in case anybody
pass it on to each other if one of them's got it. No, don't do that.
Yeah, that does transcend the rules of or transgress the rules of self isolation. I think I must say, and social distancing.
I mean, look, Joe. I mean, the reality. I think, look, you're absolutely spot on. You know, if you have a colleague or a family member who's being diagnosed as having the coronavirus, then you are supposed to self-isolate for 14 days. No exception. You do not go anywhere. You do not pass go. You do not collect £200. So from that point of view, it was really bad. I think the bigger implication for me, and I mean, I get it, he's a young kid. And I think this is the issue. He's setting a very poor example here, because I think a lot of the youngsters, and I may be doing them a disservice here, they don't seem to get the seriousness of this. I mean, if you look about, I mean, you know, it's taken until today for the government to say you absolutely cannot go to the pubs, and you can't go now because we've shut them, because people are saying, well, oh, it's only a bit of flu, we can just go down the pub, whatever, you know. Well, it's not. It's really, really serious. So if people are seeing, you know, kids like Mason Mount and Declan Rice out there playing football as if nothing's happening, it's setting a really bad example, over and above the fact that they're supposed to be self-isolating, and over and above the fact the club told them that they you know, they've got to stay inside. So... Mm. Not
didn't
good,
Odoi
I'm afraid, Mason,
over
much as I love him.
Days ago, though, Chidge, didn't Odoi have it over what? 14 days ago? So perhaps he feels he's out of the isolation period.
Yeah, but they were mixing with him, and they may have been incubating.
They started off again. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. Well, perhaps, did he not go into isolation 14 days ago himself? So perhaps if they've got it...
I don't know.
He definitely broke the rules. I mean, the one thing I will say is, while he's obviously an ambassador for Chelsea and by and large for, well, I suppose for England and the Premier League, and lots of kids do follow his example, I am in this kind of situation kind of ready to give a 21-year-old some leeway. I think of myself at 21, and you do make stupid mistakes. And he was very contrite afterwards, and he did apologise. But yeah, I think it was just more foolish and not thinking, I think, rather than actively thwarting the rules.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I understand it. I really do, you know, but I think, you know, the clubs are pretty good and pretty strong on this, and they do keep their players on quite a tight leash per se. So, you know, I'm surprised he kind of went against that. But I tell you what, you know, I don't, is it me? Maybe I'm just getting even more cantankerous the older I get, or maybe it's because I'm self-isolating and I haven't had the good influence of other people to say, Chidge, you're being a miserable old curmudgeon. But I think this whole keepy uppies with toilet rolls is appalling. There are people fighting on the streets because they can't get toilet roll, and all these blooming football players are playing keepy up with them when we could be using them to do things with.
Chidge, answer me this. What are the benefits of loo roll for the coronavirus?
I really don't know. Mate, I absolutely wigged out on the breakfast show last Sunday with Mort, because I cannot understand for the life of me why you have to panic buy loo roll.
Indeed, but also,
newspapers are available.
I went into supermarkets
today.
Mad. All the beer's gone except for the Corona.
Oh no! Now we are in trouble.
I mean, that's completely idiotic. And there's one of the blokes at my local supermarket is an Asian guy, and he's called Bat, and it's written on his badge, Bat. He's had people come up and abuse him.
No. So, do you know what? I've seen pictures of supermarkets, JK, among the plethora of those that are showing empty shelves everywhere. There have been ones that are showing the beer shelves, and there's about everybody's bought the whole place out of beer apart from Corona beer. If you want to know how stupid people are, that says it all to me.
Yeah, well, that's it does bring out the best and the worst in people. There's a wonderful audio clip doing the rounds on Twitter of a Geordie guy called Bob who's trying his first podcast. And the reason he's tried his first podcast, he said he's not bothered about catching the virus, but he is now annoyed because he went down to his local Aldi and they'd run out of Newcastle Brown Ale. So he walks for 20 minutes to his local Netto and they don't have any Newcastle Brown Ale. So now he's furious and he's going to be doing a daily podcast as he searches for his favourite northeast beverage. It's a good idea.
He's canny. It's a good idea.
It's hitting different
people. Get him on the fan cast, JK.
Yeah, he'd be perfect. Perfect.
Why aye?
Let's get him in. Aye, aye. We're going to be talking Willian and maybe a glamorous new addition to Chelsea's lineup next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
10 to 8, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. It's the Chelsea Fan Show with the Chelsea Fan Cast. Dave Chidgey with me and Jonathan Kidd here as well. We were talking about the contract situation at Chelsea and other clubs more broadly. Contracts expiring on the 30th of June. If football's still going on, what does that mean? But Chidge, one player who is going to not only honour his contract but play beyond it for as long as it takes is Willian.
Yeah, and I mean, poor old Willian gets quite a bad press, actually. And certainly, you know, he's a bit Marmite with Chelsea supporters. Lord knows why, because I love him. I mean, there's been a real hoo-ha, Joe, about Willian, because his contract's up in the summer anyway. Chelsea historically don't offer players over 30 a deal for more than a year. I mean, they broke their golden rule with David Luiz, and then, of course, David Luiz promptly went to Arsenal because he didn't want to play for Frank or whatever. Anyway, Willian wants a 3-year contract and the club have offered him 2 years, which, as I said, is unusual for them. So it looks very much like he will be out the door. Rumours abound as to whether he'll go to Barcelona or even Tottenham, which I have to say would be unconscionable. So for him to come out and say, well, look, you know,
Tottenham.
He gets...
Surely, doesn't he hate Tottenham? Isn't that according to the song?
To, you know. Well, he's supposed to, and we'll have to change the lyrics, and that's just so annoying when you have to do that. But anyway, look, the bottom line is, given all of that, the fact that he seems to understand that, as we were saying earlier on, Joe, you know, there could be absolute chaos if the season does get extended, certainly beyond the 30th of June. But he says, look, you know, don't worry, I'm going to stick around and I'll honour my contract and play for you until the season's finished, which is, in this day of footballers being somewhat, you know, narcissistic and selfish, I think is a good gesture, and I applaud him for it.
Absolutely. JK, as the old saying goes, as one Brazilian closes, another opens, or something like that.
I think that sounds rather disgusting. I think you should withdraw that statement.
We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it.
If you could, can we? Can we? Yeah, I've got a putt in the corner. I'd like to have another go. Oh, over there. What do you think of that? Oh, I didn't like that very much. No, sorry, they're not interested.
There are rumours abound that Felipe Coutinho might be plying his trade at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. Is this realistic?
Yeah. Can I just say that whoever started this, I mean, why make a rumour? I'm sorry, I'm frothing at the mouth here. Why make a rumour about somebody who gets turfed out by Barcelona, so it goes to Bayern? Bayern don't want him. So why should we get him? What's this? Are we third on? Are we used to getting hold of really not very good players and giving them a go when we're supposed to be improving? The idea was to buy marquee signings. He's not a marquee. He's like a small scout tent. it's completely ridiculous.
He's a pagoda at best.
I mean, what? But this is also, Joe. You. This is a rumor that you've plucked from the internet and Twitter. It's just complete. It's. I don't know. I'm thinking of a word beginning with B. It's useless. It's
balderdash.
Exactly. Complete and utter balderdash. But can we be associated with someone else? There's another one there now. Gareth Bale has now been, we've been linked with. I mean, OK, but if they thought about the fact he's on about 700,000 a week. Oh, is it likely?
Even more than you.
he's earning more money than I have. It's disgraceful. But is it not? All these rumours, you go, oh, God, who? So what, you replace, he doesn't play the same position as Willian. I thought the idea was we had an abundance of midfield players. I thought the idea was to stop having midfielders. Just get to, we need a striker and a centre-half are the two main positions that we're after at the moment. And he needs to get really top players for that, not people who have been rejected by other clubs. I'm sorry. Coutinho, no, I do not want him. We do not want him. OK.
Is it a no from you as well, Chich?
No, that's what I wanted to know from you. And it's a no.
How do I follow that?
I say no.
He still hasn't finished. Shut up. Anyway. Blimey, I don't know. I think the clue is really, as always, in the question, isn't it, Joe? And it's come, according to Spanish newspaper AS, I mean, the Spanish love causing a bit of trouble, don't they? But the only thing I could think of, Joe, is that the only semblance of any potential truth in this is the fact that Chelsea, up till now, have had a real penchant for buying players who score against us. And Coutinho used to score some cracking goals for Liverpool when we used to play them again, you know, against us. But I'm with JK on this. I mean, we talk about this, as you can imagine, on the podcast ad infinitum about what players we need. And we do have a plethora of talented midfield players. We do have some really good wide players. You could argue that maybe what we do need is a replacement for Hazard, who is basically irreplaceable.
Yeah, it's not
but
him,
I mean,
is it?
I don't think it's Coutinho, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, he succeeded once in England. I mean, maybe he could still do something at Chelsea. Let's very quickly talk about Bayern Munich, Chelsea. Now, lots of people will have been thinking that Chelsea obviously have a mountain to climb in the second leg and they might not see this fixture for some time. But Chidge, it's simply not true, is it? Because the game certainly in one form has been played. And actually, it's an opportunity to get a good look at Felipe Coutinho because he featured. Tell us what happened.
He did. Well, I just love this because I basically spend my entire time. I mean, you know things are bad when even I'm resorting to this kind of frippery for content, but I have to say it made me chuckle because football.london, bless their hearts, suffering like we are, I think. Basically, they decided, you'll love this too, JK, they decided to play the Bayern Munich Chelsea match, which of course should have taken place last Wednesday. They decided to play it predicted by FIFA 20, which I hold my hand up as a badge of honor, Joe, I have never played ever.
I was going to say, add me, we can have an online game.
Well, maybe you can teach me, Joe. We'll have 4 hours tomorrow. I'm sure you can teach me how to do it then. But anyway, they decided to play out the game in terms. They took off all sorts of kind of things that I don't understand, and they kind of just let the match play out. And basically, JK, it was a 1-1 draw. And the reason I plucked this out was not just because we're desperate for content, but actually, I thought this quite interesting because, number one, that would be the same result as we had when we beat them in the Champions League final. And number two, I actually think a lot of what was said in there was quite plausible, that basically, Bayern Munich kind of kept possession for most of the first half, didn't look too interested because they were three goals up. Chelsea got a goal in the second half and it looked like it was all on. Giroud missed an easy chance, which kind of deflates everybody. And then they kind of put it to bed with a goal in the last 5 minutes. But I kind of, you know what, I could have seen that happening. I could have seen a 1-1. It sounded really plausible, which made me think that maybe I should take up FIFA 20.
Did Drogba score?
No, Jonathan. No, wrong match. Wrong match, love.
It was the Monte Carlo 1956 rally, or what, that's what they simulated, wasn't it?
Thank you.
Just very, very quickly, JK, let me ask you, because we're running out of time. Match of the day has been running their top 10 or their poll for the top 10 Premier League captains. Who is your all-time greatest Chelsea captain?
All-time greatest Chelsea captain? Well, John Terry, of course. Trying to think who else. You could get Ron Harris in there as well, but that was a different era, and I don't think he was. I think he led by clogging example. Yeah, JT. I think JT would have to be for me. Unfortunately, I tend to go a bit blank about this when under pressure to remember things, because I have to be reminded of things and I go, oh, I was there. I remember that. And then it all comes flooding back. But the kind of general question. I mean, my favourite player ever is Hullett at the moment. At the moment, until somebody else overtakes him. Hullett and Lampard, but Hullett because of what he represented. But in terms of captains, trying to think that Peter Nicholas was a pretty good captain, but that wasn't in the Premier League. And I get slightly annoyed about the fact that everything has to be the so many people say it has to be, you know, when the Premier League started, because Chelsea have, believe it or not, have got a history going back much further. Yeah, Peter Nicholas was an excellent captain for Chelsea when they were coming out of the second division and they had Graham Roberts playing for them, who it disappoints me that he's a Spurs ambassador, because he was very well loved playing for Chelsea, and his wonderful ability to take penalties, which he never, ever missed, was superb. To quickly answer your question, I'd just say JT, just because of his clearly inspirational ability to get people around him to play better, to inspire, which they need at the moment. The Blues need somebody like that at the moment.
Chidge, very quickly, have you got one?
Well, JT, it has to be, doesn't it, really?
There we go. Right, listen, chaps, it's been an absolute blast. JK, Chidge, thank you so much. Chidge, I'll see you, or talk to you, certainly in the morning. We're back on Weekend Breakfast, of course. JK, it's been really good fun. You've been listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on the Chelsea Fan Cast on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.